Welcome. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio over the Progressive Radio Network. I'm Catherine Davis, and we have a full show today. In our first segment, we're going to be speaking with Debbie A. Anderson and Katrina Taylor on psychic mediumship, vibrational energy healing. And in segment two, we'll be speaking with Corinne Gordonier on plant communication and plant music for self-healing. And my guests, Debbie Anderson, is a lifelong natural healer, clairvoyant, and teacher. Her psychic mediumship has led her to the creation of vibrational healing energy, a hands-on healing technique that applies gentle touch with body communication. Debbie is also the creator of Vibrational Energy Deck, the Vibrational Earth Children, and the I Am Affirmation Decks. And her website is vibrational-energy.com. Also joining me, Katrina Taylor, is a mother, writer, an empathic reminder, an apt pupil of the cosmos, and a modern-day mystic. She is a life coach, animal communicator, and professional pet groomer. And her blog link is coachingbycat.me. And we'll talk more about how you can connect with both of our guests. But first, I want to say hello and welcome to Debbie Anderson and Katrina Taylor.
Good morning.
Hello.
Yeah, hello. It's so nice to have both of you here. Now, I know, Katrina, that you actually introduced me to the work of Debbie Anderson. So I would love for you to start this conversation by telling a little bit about your experience inviting Debbie into the conversation.
Sure. Well, a few years back, I was doing some personal research on inner child work, and I found this amazing 13-part series under Debbie's YouTube channel, where she just displayed this beautiful, authentic, childlike harmony that was very helpful, you know, using her vibrational decks as well and her own intuitive guidance. And I found the series very helpful during the time. And so I was just a fan after that. Debbie, I was watching I watch your weekly readings without fail. And I use your vibrational energy decks, which I have as apps on my phone often. And I find them amazing. And it's just all been very useful during these challenging times. And I'm just curious, Debbie, if you could share a bit of the journey that brought you into such beautiful vibrational harmony.
Thank you. Well, it's like every story. There's sort of a beginning, and with the work I do, most of it is guided, I suppose, or infused by spirit, just sort of taking me in a particular direction. And I suppose it's like all of us, if we believe or tap in or listen to that inner self, our inner guru, if you like, then amazing things can happen. And as you had explained, I had already, with the inner child work, it really didn't start as that, like everything else. I had created the Vibrational Energy Oracle Deck, and what I was hearing from a lot of parents was, why is there no deck for children? There's no deck for children, so what can we do? And I said, well, I don't know, I'll just see what's going to happen. It wasn't my next thing on my list, but again, spirit always guides us differently. And so the creation of the Vibrational Earth Children deck got created. And truly, I'm a mother and also a grandmother, so I'm many years away from working with younger children. So for me, I wanted to make sure it was authentic and a creation that children could work with, but parents could feel safe as well. It wasn't going to be all wooey-wooey. It wasn't going to be scary for children. So I worked with a lot of child educators and parents that had young children. And as I say, primarily the deck was for children from 8 years upwards. But what I was finding after people were purchasing the deck was feedback saying, I'm working on my inner child using this deck. So it was like ka-ching for me, you know, as in kaboom, you know, all of a sudden this little light goes on inside of me going, hang on a minute, I've missed that completely. And the spirit are going, no, you haven't. We just haven't revealed that part to you yet. So, you know, I've been working on my own inner child for many, many years, but I didn't see this deck as being something that people could use for inner child work. So it sort of really opened up for me another portal within that spiritual realm of going, never assume what we see as a package on the outside is what's going to be revealed on the inside. So that was sort of the story of how I got there. So it made me look again at things. And, you know, as I say, everything is perception, how we see something or understand something. So that was just the beginning. And that's when I thought, okay, so that I understand it further, I can work on myself, as we all need to work on ourselves all the time. I'll start creating this inner child series, rediscovering the inner child, basically looking at what we already know, but we sometimes forgotten or locked away in that Pandora's box, as it were.
Hmm. Lovely. I have a question for you, Debbie. This is Catherine. Oh. I always felt, well, I have come to feel that the inner child, I always had the perception that we were going to go in and help the inner child grow up. But now I'm beginning to feel that the inner child stays the child, and we to simply cultivate that relationship. Could you speak about that?
Yeah, I truly believe you're correct in that, because our inner child is our essence of us that finds the play, that finds the fun. You know, for any of us like myself, I'm in my latter years grandmother, you know, stage kind of thing. And when I get to play with my grandchildren or any small children, there is an essence there that brings out something in us that we've either forgotten about or suppressed in some way. You know, we have our adult day-to-day, we've got to-do list kind of thing. And sometimes we forget. It is about play. It is about having fun. It is about doing, tapping into that part of us. So, you know, those of us that do this already, kudos to you. But some of us, like me, I had to go back in and rediscover it again for myself in the way that now my adult is going to play. You know, I play. Don't get me wrong. I play, but sometimes I forget that is that essence of our inner child, or our inner self, or our true being, or our divine self, whatever we like to call it. It just needs to re-tap in. And as Katrina said, in my weekly readings, I use both my adult deck and children's deck to bring in those two elements. So basically, we're seeing both sides of the coin. So when the question is asked by spirit, it offers us our adult perception on it and our inner child perception. So it's really cool. It gives us, I think, the play side, which we all need to have in our lives, however old or young we are.
Beautiful.
Yes, I agree wholeheartedly about that, connecting to the inner child as opposed to having that part of ourselves grow up. And it looking around at things, there's so many huge changes happening in the world. And it's obvious, you know, so many people are just feeling very stressed out, not knowing what's coming. A lot of what could be called wounding is being expressed throughout communities and the world. Do you feel that this inner child work could possibly offer some solutions, you know, and how?
Yeah, I feel that it's a bit like I sort of explain to people that we're both male and female. We're negative and positive. So therefore, we do have the adult and the divine inner child. So they're the flip side of us. And each of those in balance with each other actually makes us complete. Now, we're human, and we're that energy being having a human experience, an existence, whether you call it lessons or challenges or exploratory adventures, they're there and part of us. So depending on how we connect to them, will determine the outcome, basically. And we all know that, you know, I don't have the, I always say, I don't have the Pollyanna rose-colored glasses on all the time. Yes, I can look at things and go, wow, that's just not happening, or this is really bad, or I don't want this in my life. And so we go into that energy. Now, we have choices. We can stay there, or we can actually go, okay, if I reverse this, if I change this, how I'm feeling or what's happening around me, that I am still in control of myself, not in control of others. We are all responsible and in control of ourselves. So therefore, we have this ability to change that perception. So yes, I do think it's going to help us, because I know for me, if I'm doing something and I'm in that what I call adult, I'm a Taurian, so stubbornness, if you like, for me, that comes sometimes, this stubbornness of I want to do it this way and I want to do it now, like a petulant child. And then I just hear this little voice going, there are other ways to do this, you know. And then I step back and go, yeah, okay, thank you for the reminder. So it helps us. And we've all had that sense or feeling. So whether we like to call it working with our inner child or not, it's there. So, yes, I do feel it can help us. That's that inner voice that just says, you know what, there's a different way to approach this sometimes, or look at this in a different way. So I hope that helps.
Oh, yes. I absolutely can see that. I really believe it's kind of a tending your own vineyard kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Each, take personal care of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that's what spreads out into the collective as opposed to, you know, the wounding. I think you've given us a little insight on this next question about your courses. You offer several. I was actually very surprised at the variety of courses that you offer, live and virtual.
Yes,
can you give us just a quick tour through some of your classes?
Thank you. Well, I've just actually finished creating the vibrational energy therapy as an online course, and even that in itself for me, you know, for anybody out there running their own business, whether it's a holistic business or whether it's a day-to-day business, when you're a one-trepreneur, which I am, so there's just me doing it, I place on these many different hats that I have, sometimes it can become a little overwhelming, and like everybody, I don't know all of the different things, but I quickly have to learn them, as you do when you're running your own business. So for me, you know, I had inquiries for people saying, I want to take the vibrational energy therapy training, but, you know, I'm in Australia, or I'm in New Zealand, or I'm in Germany. How can I do it? And as much as I'd like to teleport myself to all these wonderful locations, it isn't humanly possible. So it was, okay, I have to look at this in a different way. I have to look at it, can I do this in a virtual way as an online course? So that is just evolving now and just finishing up. I'm working with somebody that's just pulling everything together and putting it on my website. So anybody heading there, please be aware that we're just in the finite stages of finishing this, and then it's available for people to purchase. And that way it allows people to actually do it in the comfort of their own home. Now, I also run Spiritual Explorer classes, and they're usually at the moment done live in person. But again, I'm being guided by Spirit to make them in a virtual way so that people can have the lessons and do them online, rather than attending a workshop that I have. I live in near Windsor in Ontario in Canada. So, yes, I do have courses and workshops there. And, you know, people approach me, can you put on a workshop? And, yes, I do that. And when I go on tour across Canada or into Australia or New Zealand or the UK or US, then, yes, I also put on workshops based on what people want. So hopefully that helps or confuses. I don't know.
No. It's very helpful. And you might see me on one of those virtual classes. The internet really does make us a global village. And otherwise, I wouldn't have found you even. So
exactly.
For that. In terms of the future, what kinds of things do you have coming up besides your virtual courses? Are you going to be doing any more travel?
At the moment, the next part of traveling for me is going to be to Mexico for 5 months, and that is going to be partially vacation, but they never tend to be that. A lot of it for me is when I'm away and not switched on, if you like, I'm not there 24/7 for everybody or within my office, I can actually sit down and write. And that's something that I embrace and love having coming towards me. And there is another deck that I've been sitting on in the melting pot, if you like, for quite a few years. In fact, I thought it was going to be my second deck. How wrong can you be? You know, Spirit obviously had other ideas and just said, don't put that to one side. Put that to one side. And also, there's a book that I want to write, and it's basically one I'm going to be co-authoring with my father, Colin Anderson, who actually passed the spirit last year. And yes, for those of you scratching your head, he communicates with me all the time and has been sharing some amazing insights that even I'm going, okay, I understand that now, Dad, from his perspective, from the other side of the veil, if you like. So that's something I've been wanting to work on and just haven't had the time. So that's going to be, my next step. But seeing that the launch of the I Am Sacred Affirmation deck is going to be happening mid to end of August. At the moment, I'm waiting for my sample coming over so I can just check everything is ready to go to the printer. So that's pretty exciting as well. So, yes, lots of things happening, not so much touring for the next short while because, you know, I want to get back to focusing what I'm been putting on hold for so long. So a deck and a book, hopefully. But again, I conclude with these kind of things that's what I think is going to happen. And then Spirit open a door and go, nah, not quite. We're going to do it this way. So
that's the way life works. You kind of have to surrender the process. I was wondering if you could take a little step back and explain to people what these decks are and how they work. I believe that a lot of people are familiar with the tarot decks, but your work seems to have a different kind of energy to them and perhaps a different focus. And maybe you can explain how they work and how people would use them in their life.
Of course. Well, an oracle deck, which is what I've created, and an affirmation deck are slightly different to a tarot deck. Now, a tarot deck has structure. So it has major and minor arcana cards. And so they're a bit like anybody that plays cards with a deck of cards. They're like having the suits and honors. And they have a certain structure to them. Now, I've played with tarot decks for many, many eons. But for me, it was the oracle deck seemed to be more simplistic, and I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean, it didn't mean that I had to learn lots of meanings based on, you know, the Ten of Cups inverted means this and so forth. So an oracle deck, for anybody that has them, will attest that they are slightly easier to use because a card is a card wherever it's pulled. An oracle deck, unlike a tarot deck, can be any number of cards. My decks are actually 52, and it was the affinity with the number 7, which came up, and how many times there were so many mentions of 52 in throughout Spirit. So it was like, okay, mine are going to be 52 cards. Each card is different. Each card in my particular deck, or the decks I create, have a simple, small definition. So it's not a lot of words that you have to read pages and pages and go, oh, does it mean this? Does it mean that? And the one thing that I try and get people to accept and embrace is that once they get a general feel of the deck, is to put away the guidebook completely and just allow their inner self to actually connect with it. So yes, you can use it for doing a spread, just like you would do any other kind of spread, a past, present, and future. And in fact, there's a spread on within the deck, which are the 5 vibrational dimensions of the soul spread. Now that goes into different levels in a deeper way. It's an 11-card spread, so that's quite a large spread for any deck of cards, but that's something a lot of people love to do, and it is very easy. I give you the step by step. And again, the one thing that I invite in is just play with the deck. Tap into yourself. Be there in that moment using it and see what comes out of it. See what transpires. People can also use it for meditation purposes. Again, they can pull a card and meditate on that card and what it means for them at that moment in their lives. Now, the affirmation deck that I have at the moment and the one that's just coming out are what I call the instant gratification cards. Basically, shuffle the deck, pull a card, and that's your mantra or your direction for the day or for that moment, or if we've asked a question, that is our answer. Again, can be used for meditation purposes. So I try to create them in a very simplistic way based on what Spirit has said, that we have so overcomplicated our lives and made things so difficult for ourselves that we need to get back to the simplicity of connecting to ourselves and not expecting everything to be in that card verbatim to what we should do in our lives. So hopefully that explains a little bit about it.
Yeah, it does. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Katrina?
Yes, explains it very well. And it's really the simplicity of your, not only your decks, but your weekly readings, just your life walk, the way you journey. It comes through, and it's appreciated definitely because of what you just said, that we are so overwhelmed with processes and scheduling and achieving, so to speak. And it really is in play that
yes.
we can discover the most powerful, beautiful parts of ourselves. So
yeah.
I absolutely appreciate that.
Well, the thing is, a Spirit try and remind us on a probably daily basis, and sometimes they have to do this to me, and I always say that I'm the not the always with ease and grace kind of girl. I can sometimes be the kicking and screaming, because sometimes I think I know better, and then at the end of the journey, I go, oh, yes, if I'd just done it the other way, it would have been much easier on my soul. But we are here for ourselves, and this is something that I try and remind people of, especially in when I do my weekly readings. This is about you. Yes, we interact as mothers, we interact as sisters and brothers and workmates and mothers and lovers and all of those kind of things, friends. We have all those different roles, those different hats that we wear. But ultimately, we chose this journey that we are on in this moment. We chose it. We sat down and we wrote out a contract to ourselves. And if we get sidetracked into all of the other things, then we get off track. Now, that's not to say we are not here to help others, but we are here primarily to help ourselves go through whatever processes we have decided upon when we were in that infinite state before we arrived here. And for those of you that believe in past lives and reincarnation, then yes, we go on once we've learned our lessons, our challenges, our discovered route, then we can go on and do other things. But if we don't connect and do what we said we wanted to come here to do, we're going to be ultimately, I always say, coming back and doing it again. So for me personally, I want to make sure I get it right this time. I don't want to have to come back and do this again in the way that I've done it. I want to go on and do something else, maybe bringing with that other element. But this is my journey, and yours is different, and everybody's is different. But sometimes we get so caught up in the expectations of others that we forget who we are, and we forget to connect to that. I always say it's like going on an aeroplane, you know, when they do the safety check, and they explain, when that little oxygen mask drops down from the ceiling, put it on yourself first, and then help all the other idiots around you afterwards. And that is basically it. We need to feed and nourish ourselves. If not, we will die. So when we're giving out to everybody else all the time, and we forget to feed us,
it's
not
very true,
and
it's not
long.
A selfish thing. It's
no,
not
it's
a selfish,
not selfish
thing at all. I agree. And once we enrich ourselves, we'll have more riches to share with
others.
So I absolutely agree.
you know, I had a conversation with somebody many, many years ago, and they said, oh, gosh, you know, all rich people are bad. And I'm going, okay, so what would you do if you were rich? Well, I would do this, and I would do that. And I said, but then become rich, and then you can feed the others. And that's basically what it is, enriching ourselves so we can help feed the others. If we're not feeding ourselves and we're not at that stage where we can do that, then all we can do is murmur on about it or complain about it or, you know, get frustrated with it. But if we make that change within us and stay in that intention, then yes, we can help others.
Indeed. Indeed.
Beautiful perspective, and it makes so much sense. And one of the things that I look at is how people are somehow hijacked by the politic of the day, by all of the chaos that's going on in the world. Can you give some insight on how people can pull out of that chaos and really pay attention to their lives, as you were describing?
Switch it off. Switch off the media. I have to admit, and some people could go in shock and horror, I don't have cable TV. I don't buy a newspaper. I buy a local newspaper. That's all I get is my local news. I'm concluding if something really bad has happened, people let me know. And usually they do. And then I can decide on how I'm going to interact with that particular happening. When we are plugged in, if you like, to, sadly, it's when we're plugged into the news or media in that way. And, you know, I'm not saying it's a wrong thing, but anybody that listens to the news, if there's a feel-good feature in there, it's a five-minute or a two-minute slot right at the very end. So we have to go through the endurance of listening to all the pain and horror and shock and everything else, and then we get that 2 minutes of that feels good. So what if we reverse that and we had an hour of that feel good, that being connected and doing, making the changes, and then just had that very small part at the end? It can be something we can reverse in ourselves if we want to. Now, some people actually thrive on the fear, the horror, the anxiety, the pain. And that's okay, too. That's their journey. Do I want it to be mine? Certainly not. Do I sit with my Pollyanna rose-colored glasses on all the time? No, I don't. I am very much in the here and now of what's going on. But I don't have to connect into that 24/7. It just builds fear, anxiety, pain, anguish, and all those negative things. And sadly, that raises as a vibration that happens in our world. When I hear something bad happening, I always remind people, out of something bad always comes something good. And when we connect to that after this atrocity or pain or anguish has happened, and then we watch what happens around it, with the goodness, that is so amazing. You know, there was a massive fire in London in a tower block, and so many people lost their lives. And that was very, very painful. And they're still recovering, trying to, I suppose, recover the remains because the fire was so intense. And it's going to take months, maybe years to do that. But what happened out of that awful event with those people that lost their homes, lost their lives, lost their loved ones, is that others rallied around to make a difference. They came together. And as one gentleman said on the news, Londoners stick together regardless of where you came from or who you are. We are Londoners. Now, that is something that we tend to forget or we miss in the pain. So we can't miss that. That is something good always comes out of something bad. And we've only got to look at all the events that have happened in life within my lifetime. And then I look and see the other side of what came out of that because of it. And maybe that's something we need, something bad to happen for us to open our eyes and actually see. So not to end on a bad note. I'm hopeful people see that and accept that and as I say, don't buy into so much of the negativity in the media. Turn it around, make it a good news rather than a bad news.
Well, that's very true. I agree. And also, I think that describes our personal lives as well. Things bad happen and we grow from it. So
exactly.
That makes a lot of sense. I can see that we're going to have to come back for a part two because I want to continue this conversation, but I'm out of time. So I wanted to offer Katrina to wrap up this conversation.
Thank you,
well,
ladies.
Thank you, Catherine, and thank you, Debbie, so much for joining us on the show today. I, like I said, I can't say enough how impressed I am with your work and your actual walking of the talk. Much
thank
appreciate
you.
It. Beautiful example.
All right, and give your websites, both of you.
Debbie?
Okay. Mine is vibrational-energy.com.
And mine is coachingbycat.me, still under construction.
All right. Well, we're always under construction. We're never quite finished. So all of my sites are constantly transforming. So I want to thank you both for joining me today on Heart of Mind Radio. And we'll talk again soon. And for those of you who are listening, please stay tuned. We're going to hear a bit of music, Douglas Spotted Eagle, it's a prayer. And coming up in our next segment, we'll be speaking with Corinne Gordonier on plant spirit healing. Stay tuned.
Sit-sit-la-te-ho-jo-to. şirketlerde hoş oldu. Alt mıydı? Hocam ben aşağıda. Hocam beden işteydi. Hocam aşağıda olayım. Hocam hastalıyım. Hocam hastalıyım. Hocam hastalıyım.
Heart of Mind Radio over the Progressive Radio Network. I'm Catherine Davis, and we are being joined by Corinne Gordonier, and she is founder of Green Girl Herbs and Healing. She is a plant spirit healer, shamanic practitioner, Native American herbalist, Reiki master teacher, and educator offering individual energetic healing sessions, herb consultations, and classes. Her introduction to herbalism and earth healing practices began when she was a child learning from her father, who was a Mexican Indian ancestry. Her work is based on the belief that living apart from our divine connection with the Creator, the earth, and the spirit beings of nature forms a split in our souls that must be healed in order to restore balance to ourselves, our communities, and our planet. And we'll be giving out information about her website as well as an upcoming workshop. But first, I want to say hello and welcome, Corinne.
Thank you, Catherine. Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. It's so wonderful to have you because this is such an interesting topic for me. Mm-hmm. I think I would say that I have felt this connection to nature, a deep connection to nature, but I don't think I've put it all together about the how nature actually communicates and works with us. And could you give us a little bit of a background, maybe something that you did learn from your family traditions that will help us get connected to how important nature is, the plants around us?
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, as I grew up, the focus was, there was a lot of focus on just, you know, being in nature and honoring nature. My dad and I spent a lot of time, you know, hiking. You know, we did massive gardens, and so there was you know, just so much emphasis on that, and so much emphasis on respecting the natural world. And I believe that everything really begins with understanding. And so when you come from the place of understanding that everything has a consciousness and a spirit, you know, everything in nature is aware, is sentient, that's really the place of beginning. So coming from that place, when you understand that something has consciousness, has awareness, has a spirit, you're going to behave with it in a different way than you would if you don't have that understanding. And from that place, that's the beginning place. From that place is where we can, you know, learn to interact and learn to connect with the natural world. And it's interesting because I do teach in New York City, and people will ask me, you know, they feel a disconnect from nature. But I remind them that, you know, nature is all around you. You know, even if you're walking on concrete, you know, the earth that's underneath you and, you know, the sky that comes down to meet the earth, you know, to meet the concrete is there, is all around you. So, and it's often interesting to me as well that many of the trees that are in, you know, various areas in New York City grow quite well. So they're really beautiful. So when I'm teaching in the city, I'm always very aware of the trees and the nature that I'm seeing all around. So it's something that I carry with me. So no matter where I am, I'm always finding that place of connection. And I think that's an important place to spring from, is finding that place of connection.
Yes, I can agree with that. And I'm lucky because I live in Brooklyn, and there are many, many trees in Brooklyn. We have parks, but, you know, even lining the streets, there are trees. And I can feel the difference when I go into another part of the city and those trees are not so available. Mm-hmm. There's a shift in how the environment actually feels when you're in proximity to nature, however limited it may be. I find the same is true by having plants in the house. It shifts things in terms of how it feels. So maybe you can talk a little bit about how plants communicate, how we can communicate with plants. Mm-hmm. And I know that you have a workshop coming up that is actually about plant communication and mm-hmm. plant music for healing. Mm-hmm. It never occurred to me to associate music with plants. Mm-hmm. So maybe you could talk a bit about that and begin to introduce your workshop, which is coming up August 5th at the New York Open Center. August 5th, 10:30 to 6 p.m. And people can go to opencenter.org to find out more about that. But tell us about the plant communication and how people can develop this awareness.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, as I was saying before, you know, it springs from the understanding that everything has a spirit and a consciousness. And the first step to opening up that world is that understanding. And then, you know, we go within, you know, we center ourselves. And we, in doing that, we are able to become more sensitive to other energies around us. So that's another place, another starting point, another jumping off point. Plant communication also works with shamanistic techniques as well. So we can communicate with the plants through the shamanic journey and through visioning, through walking meditations, through different types of exercises that we do with the plants to become sensitive to their energies. So we work with them in a number, you know, in a number of different ways. and through that, we discover that they have, you know, each plant has a unique energetic signature that is, you know, very unique to a particular species. And they each have a lesson to teach. And in addition to that, they have, you know, individual messages for us and, you know, answering our questions that we may have about things that potentially we're struggling with, you know, in life. Plants can help us to work at a personal level, at a community level, as well as at a global level. Plants are incredibly successful, you know, as we look back over their evolution, their ability to organize and to develop and to transmute and to mutate and to adapt to their environment can teach us tremendous things. So we can tap into that energy. We can learn to tap into their frequencies and, you know, begin to develop this communication. And for some people, this type of healing modality may seem new when, in fact, it's really quite old. It's something that has really been practiced by various cultures in different ways throughout the world for tens of thousands of years. So in fact, this is something that is being reawakened in us, and I think also it's very timely that it is being reawakened. So I'm really thrilled to be offering this workshop at the Open Center, as you mentioned, on August 5th, because it's going to allow participants to crack open this door to interspecies communication and to see what it can potentially do for them and how it can play a part in their own personal healing. And, you know, people in workshops have been amazed at, you know, people that have had no experience in this at all have been amazed at their ability to connect quickly and their ability to gain information and to have, you know, transformational openings and healings. So it's and as an instructor, as a guide to this work, it is an honor and it's thrilling for me to be able to bear witness to people connecting with the plants, you know, in this way. For the first time, it's such an incredible experience, you know, for me is to be able to watch it as well. So I'm so excited to be offering this workshop.
Yes, it looks really very exciting, especially the part on the shamanic journey and plant consciousness. Would you be able to tell us something of your own experience with plants? And how you might have experienced this connection?
Absolutely, yes, absolutely. Well, I always had a leaning towards nature. You know, as a child, I gravitated toward nature. I mean, given the choice between, you know, being inside and watching television or something and going outside, I was always outside. So there was always this connection with the natural world in general, but in plants in particular. My mother was always fond of regaling people with stories of, you know, how I would sit there and study the plants, and I always had something growing on my windowsill and that sort of thing. And I mentioned, you know, my dad and I had these huge gardens, and so there was a lot of, you know, interaction with the plants and the trees. And there was a communication that, as a young child, I didn't recognize it for what it was, because, you know, when we have certain things that we do, we think everybody, you know, is receiving those messages or is seeing the world in that way, and it's not until we get older that we realize, you know, people don't. So as I got older and kind of sought out more experiences and more trainings, I studied with Pam Montgomery, who teaches plant spirit healing and had taught a professional training in it. And to be able to put context and, you know, and words and additional techniques, you know, to what I was doing was just, it was incredible. It was a feeling of coming home. As I had studied previously, you know, different healing modalities, but when I really connected deeply with plant spirit healing, I'd found my home. That was it. It was like, boom, that was it. And it was just, it was and it still is incredible. I say to my students all the time, I'm still amazed at just how profound the insights are, and how significant the, you know, the plant beings are in my life, and how much they've changed me. You know, they've really helped me through some incredibly difficult times in my life, and really set the course for my life. So for me, the connection is like I said, it's just incredible. I had a particularly difficult time a couple of years ago when my mother passed quite suddenly.
Excuse me for just a second. We're hearing some feedback, some technical feedback.
Okay.
Would you be able to try to speak up just a little more?
Sure, absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
Is it better?
Yeah, better? Much better, thank you.
Okay, mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I had an incredibly difficult time a couple of years ago when my mother passed quite suddenly, and, you know, I was just distraught, and I really started spending a lot of time with a particular plant who's a plant ally of mine, St. John's wort, and or as I like to call her, St. Joan's wort. And it was, you know, I spent a lot of time just with her and meditating and harvesting and, you know, her flowers and creating different, you know, remedies and things. And over a time, of a few months, you know, I really realized how much she was really helping me to work through the grief, and that was a pretty incredible experience. You know, sometimes there are things that we go through that human interaction doesn't always, you know, help. You know, sometimes people just can't, you know, relate to where we're coming from, or they can't identify with our pain, and oftentimes, you know, the plant world can, you know, and can go places that, you know, humans can't. And that's just really one example of, you know, some of my experiences with the plants and how much they've meant to me.
Yeah, I can relate to that. I feel very close to nature, and I would say that I could actually feel a radiant communication. I don't interpret it necessarily in an understanding, but I do feel that energy in closeness to plants. And it's sort of like when you're next to a person, you can sort of feel if they're have a good energy, or you could feel if they're angry or something like that. It's something akin to that for me, that when I in nature, or when I'm connecting to a particular tree or plant, I do feel something that's mm-hmm. radiating from the plant. Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering if you could speak to that and the music that plants give out. Mm-hmm. Is this Absolutely. Something that you experience inside, like a perception, not of the ear, but maybe of the heart?
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, you know, each being in nature, each plant, each tree, has its own unique energetic signature or its vibration, like you mentioned, just in the same way that we can be around certain people and, you know, some people we click with and some people we don't. We recognize something that has a good vibe and maybe something that's not so comfortable. So, you know, some plants are, you know, they might provide, help us to provide clarity in our lives. Some plants are like incredible movers of energy and help us to move out stagnation. And as again, everything begins with, you know, really with going within. So as we quiet our minds and we go within and we find a centered place within ourselves through, you know, different types of exercises and meditation and specific breathing techniques and exercises in which we connect our energy with the plant, we can really begin to, you know, hear this, hear their messages. And as I mentioned, as everything has a vibration, everything in the universe has a song. I mean, even planets have their own song. And you'll hear reference to this in, you know, various indigenous cultures and literature about plant songs. When a plant gifts you with its song, it's an incredible honor. And often those songs become a part of our healing songs. So plants can have different types of songs. You know, there is just their song, and then there is their healing song. So, for instance, when I'm working with someone engaged in healing, I may sing the plant song over that person to help to shift, you know, to shift an energy or an imbalance. So the plant music or the music of the plant's device was actually something that was created in Domenher, Italy. And it's a device that actually measures the bioelectrical energy of the plant. And so you can actually visibly hear the plant, part of the plant's music. So there's different ways that you can hear the plant's music. Traditionally, it would be from a place of deep listening. And yes, you're absolutely right. Everything we do is really from a heart-centered connection. So that's really the place that we're listening from. It's from a very deep, you know, a very deep place.
Beautiful. And I just wanted to remind all of us who are listening that we're speaking with Corinne Gordonier, and she is doing a really beautiful workshop coming up, Plant Communication and Plant Music for Self-Healing. And it will be at the New York Open Center in Manhattan, in New York, on Saturday, August 5th, from 10:30 till 6 p.m. And some of the things that are going to be covered in that are to explore the science of plant awareness and sentience, discover plants' spiritual energy and nature, learn what plant communication is and how plants communicate, experience plant consciousness through the shamanic journey, discover a personal plant ally, and experience the music of plants. So it does sound like it's going to be a wonderful experience, Corinne. But for people who might want to talk to you and get connected to what you do as well in your other parts of your professional life, how do they connect with you?
On my website, which is greengirlherbs.net, there's all my contact information is there if they want to send a message or call me or anything like that. I also have a blog, and I write about these types of topics, plant communication and my work with the plants. So the website would be a great place to start.
Mm-hmm. And you said greengirlherbs.net?
.net, yep, that's correct.
Yeah, okay. So that's greengirlherbs.net, greengirlherbs.net. And for those who miss the information that we're giving out today, you can go to the website prn.fm, look for the Heart of Mind Radio archive page, and you'll find a link to Corinne's website, as well as a link to the New York Open Center, where you can find out more about this full-day workshop coming up, actually quite soon, Saturday, August 5th, from 10:30 till 6 p.m. And it does seem like, it sounds like it's going to be an exciting experience for people who participate in this. I think just really not being in harmony with nature is really what's wrong with the world. We've taken a different path that is, I think, quite destructive. So for every one of us that really comes home again to the natural world, it's going to help all of us, I do believe. Corinne, tell us a little bit more about yourself, what you do. You know, as we come to the close of this conversation, what are some of the things that people can connect with you on, types of things?
Absolutely. Well, as I mentioned, I do teach classes in herbalism, plant spirit healing, and shamanism. I have a healing practice, so I work with people one-on-one as well. And I'm very passionate about teaching because all of my work is all based around empowerment. And what I feel my personal mission is to help people to reconnect to the earth. And I think you said it beautifully, in that really is what is our ill, of what we're going through right now, personally, on a personal level and on a planetary level. So I feel so passionately about connecting, helping people to reconnect, really, because we all have that within our DNA, within our biology, that connection, that divine connection with the planet and with the beings of the planet. And the plants are, really there and open and, wanting to assist in this, in this process, in this reconnection. And they're very, very accessible, to us. So that is my mission, is to help as many people as possible to reconnect in this way and to have a right relationship with the planet and with themselves, of course.